Every country in history that's gotten into this kind of situation has had a problem eventually. And I am afraid that we the U.S., are going to have a serious problem. I mean, the debt, let me see, the debt is incomprehensible. I can't even count that high. Well, as you know, prices are going up already, even though sometimes Washington tries to deny it, but everybody who shops knows prices are going up again. And history is very clear. When that starts happening, it continues. Continues until that becomes a crisis or a semi-crisis. Don't listen to your neighbors or friends or teachers. Figure out what you love the most, and whatever your passion is, that's what you should pursue. And mm-hmm. if you actually love agriculture, become a farmer. Maybe your teachers will say, wait a minute, we didn't educate you to be a farmer. Don't listen to them. Listen to what you love. Those are the people that are most successful. The people who do what they do and love are usually the most successful because they love it. But Steve, even if they're not successful, they don't care, they're happy. And, you know, having a happy life is rare.
Welcome back, everyone. This is Just Steve Yang with Natural Resource Stocks. Today, I am thrilled to welcome one of the most iconic and clear-eyed voices on global affairs, Jim Rogers, co-founder of the Quantum Fund, creator of the Rogers International Commodity Index, RICI. Jim is known for calling things exactly as he sees them, often contrarian, always honest, never afraid to challenge the mainstream. Jim, it is a true privilege to have you here.
Oh, Steve, it's my honor. I'm flattered. I'm delighted to be here. Hooray.
Well, Jim, you are in Singapore. I appreciate you making the time to be here. I'd love to kind of get your input on why you're there a little bit at the end, but I'd love to jump in and talk about precious metals. Love to talk to you about gold and silver. Gold, I think, was over 4,100 and silver over 51. And what's really driving these prices right now? Is it one dominant force? Or is it a mix of cycles, geopolitics, uneasiness? And looking ahead, do you expect a normal correction? Or do the structural pressures keep pushing precious metals higher?
Well, I own both gold and silver and have for many years. I hope that I'm smart enough never to sell my gold and silver unless there's a panic or something and I have to. But no, I hope that my children own my gold and silver someday. And I hope they're smart enough to keep them. Everybody should have some gold and silver in the closet or under the bed or somewhere. Because when there's a disaster, whether we like it or not, throughout history, gold and silver have always come to the rescue. I mean, not just today. I mean, you remember Jesus Christ? Jesus Christ was sold for 30 pieces of silver. But that's what they used in that part of the world in those days. But it's been around for centuries. And it probably will be. So I own gold and silver. I suggest that everybody should have some gold and silver too.
So do you see gold going up, down? Do you see this being a, you know, following the FOMO and everybody just trying to jump on the bandwagon, or do you see a correction coming?
Well, both have been very hot recently, as you know. So we're overdue for correction. I mean, corrections are normal. They always happen. They're usually good for a market. So, but don't ask me about market timing. I'm the worst in the world at market timing. I don't pay too much attention to the price of my gold and silver. I mean, I would say, no, I'm aware, but no, I don't. The price doesn't matter to me. Just owning both of them always is important.
Jim, people often turn to gold and silver in times of panic. I'm worried. I know that you probably share some of that sentiment, but you know, I mean, I want to avoid being blindsided and protect myself and my loved ones. And I feel like there's so much to worry about right now. You know, with debt exploding, growth slowing, banks under strain. I mean, what do you see breaking first? a debt crisis, currency crisis, commodity crisis? I mean, what worries you most right now?
Well, I'm always worried about everything. The problem is, it's the things I don't worry about that always hit me from out of left field. They always come from nowhere. But no, I mean, Steve, the simple facts are, and they have been there a long time, the United States, and I'm an American citizen, taxpayer, voter, et cetera. The United States is the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. No nation ever has been anywhere near as deep in debt as we are. And it's getting worse every day. And the people in Washington don't even seem to be aware. They certainly aren't worried. And maybe I shouldn't be worried either, but it's never, every country in history that's gotten into this kind of situation has had a problem eventually. And I am afraid that we the U.S., are going to have a serious problem. I mean, the debt, I mean, Steve, the debt is incomprehensible. I can't even count that high.
Yeah, I can't even imagine that high. I don't see how this is. I mean, I question our whole monetary policy, fiat currency. I mean, I don't know where gold plays a factor. Do you see gold coming into the monetary system again? Do you see it being tied? What's next beyond after all this goes down?
throughout history, when there's been a crisis, people have often turned to gold and silver to solve their problems. I mean, I'm sure you remember that the U.S. was actually established on a silver standard back in the 1700s. Mm-hmm. The monetary system was based on silver from decades, changed to gold at the end of the 19th century, and then became gold and silver. I own both. I have no idea what's going to happen, Steve, but I do know that throughout history, when there's been a crisis, people have always turned to gold and silver. Maybe they shouldn't, but they always have, and I suspect they always will.
I mean, do you see something, maybe a country, a particular government that's kind of fragile right now? I mean, I think you've said before in the past that, governments can find themselves in positions where they can buy peace as long as, a key commodity holds up. But, because they're overly reliant on a single pillar, such as a commodity price, if that one thing goes, if one thing changes, then they're exposed and things unravel, with debt at record levels. Which countries are most vulnerable today? I know you mentioned the United States having a huge debt problem. Is there, a trigger that you're worried about?
Well, Steve, just to repeat, the United States is the largest debtor nation in the history of the world. Mm-hmm. Nobody's ever been so deep in debt, and the debt goes higher every day, every week. I mean, it's staggering what's happening. And that nobody seems to notice or care. I do know, to repeat myself, that whenever any country's gotten into this situation, mm-hmm. it's eventually had problems. I don't like saying it, but I know that we are gonna have huge problems eventually. And I'm afraid it's probably sooner rather than later, because the debt goes so much higher every day. And whether it's just a panic, just a collapse, temporary. I mean, I hope it's a temporary collapse. It always has been. But I know it's coming. And I know that gigantic debt has always led to problems throughout history. Do I like saying this? No. Do I like the fact? No. But yeah, I have to face facts.
So, Jim, is there a way that people can protect themselves? I know you mentioned gold and silver. Are there, where do people park their money? Are you still bullish on certain commodities? Are you excited about particular commodities more than others? Do you see shortages where, man, people are really missing this?
Well, throughout history, when there have been gigantic currency problems, money problems, people have always turned to hard assets, whether it's property or silver, whatever it is, they've always found hard assets to protect themselves. And I've read enough history to know that that will happen again. And as long as you can find something that isn't burdened with gigantic debt, chances are you'll survive. Chances. I didn't say you would survive. I said the chances are in your favor.
Yeah, when I talk to people like you, Jim, I get scared. you tell the truth. And I want to know, because I came to you because I want to know the truth. But how do people, like, is it just guns and bullets? I mean, what are we looking at here that you're worried about that might happen? You know, do we buy bullion? Do we buy gold coins, silver coins? Do we need to get, water, jugs of water? What's the plan here?
Well, everybody has to make their own decision. I live in Singapore, which is far away from the U.S. anyway. And so far, it's been a stable and solvent country. I hope that continues. China's few hundred miles away and will always be there. And if there are problems, China's undoubtedly going to be involved because it's one of the most important countries in the world now. So if and when the problems come, they're probably going to be very widespread, Steve. So everybody should be worried, but everybody has to figure out their own way. Yes, I suggest we all have some gold and silver under the bed or in the closet or somewhere else. But there are other ways too. Some people store food. Some people store bullets. Some people store everything.
Yeah.
My simple way is to have some gold and silver and hope that I'm okay.
So when you say that politicians don't seem to care, if you could have all the politicians in front of you and you had their attention, what would you tell them that needs to change? How would you?
I could certainly tell them that what the U.S. is doing is untenable, cannot survive, and it is going to lead us to a huge problem someday. But they wouldn't do anything. They would all say, yeah, you're right, Jim. Okay. And then the next week, it'd be the same old thing. I mean, this has been going on for a long time. America's becoming deeper in debt. Everybody gives lip service to the debt problem. But Steve, I don't see anybody doing anything. And unfortunately, history usually indicates that nobody will do anything until there's a gigantic crisis and they're forced to do something. And usually when they're forced to do something, you usually act out of panic and it's usually not good solutions. I'm just speaking about human beings and history and the way we've always been.
Do I like it?
No, I know what happens.
Are we looking at massive inflation where everyone's a millionaire and a can of Coke is $20. I mean, what are we looking at in terms of grocery prices? How is the everyday American going to feel this?
Well, as you know, prices are going up already, even though sometimes Washington tries to deny it. But everybody who shops knows prices are going up again. And history is very clear. When that starts happening, it continues. Continues until there becomes a crisis or a semi-crisis. And the situation with the U.S. now is we have such gigantic debt, that it's probably going to be pretty serious next time. Not probably, it is going to be serious next time. My problem, Steve, and you probably have the answer, is I don't know when next time is, whether it's this month or next year. I know what's coming.
Do you see other ways besides gold and silver, like to invest in? I know you've been, bullish on agriculture in the past. Is food and farmland important still? Do you see that as being one of the smarter long-term plays at this time?
Well, historically, that has been a way to protect yourself and to survive. When things have been really bad, the people who have farms usually come out okay. I mean, you read Russian novels. Those Russian farmers were, those aristocratic farmers were very, very rich and powerful at times. But that's been true throughout history all over the world. And so I would suspect, yes, but only if you know what you're doing. If you don't know how to farm, or you don't want to get hot and sweaty, you probably shouldn't be a farmer. It's not easy. I wish it were easy. I wish there were an easy answer. If there is an easy answer, I don't know it, Steve.
What would you say to, Jim, you took your kids to Singapore so that they will learn Chinese or Mandarin. Is that right?
Yes.
And, but they're not there anymore?
No, unfortunately, your children grow up. One of them's already graduated from college. He now has a job. You know, I tell my children all the time to stop growing up. They ignore me.
You wrote a book. I was struck by the book title of the book, A Gift to My Children. And, you know, when I spoke with Doug Casey, I asked him, you know, what advice he'd give someone in their late teens or early 20s. I'm kind of curious, you know, if a child of yours said to you, or a grandchild came to you and said, what should I do with my life? You know, what lesson from that book feels most urgent today? And what advice can you give to people now who are looking to, you know, strive and shine in the world with so much potential, the future's ahead of them? But I'm hoping there's a better message than all things are going to the shitter.
Well, I mean, I have learned enough about life and people to know that the best thing you can do is figure out what you yourself love. Don't listen to your neighbors or friends or teachers. Figure out what you love the most, and whatever your passion is, that's what you should pursue. And mm-hmm. if you actually love agriculture, become a farmer. Maybe your teachers will say, wait a minute, we didn't educate you to be a farmer. Don't listen to them. Listen to what you love. Because those are the people that are most successful. The people who do what they do and love are usually the most successful because they love it. But Steve, even if they're not successful, they don't care. They're happy. And, you know, having a happy life is rare. Many people don't. So if you can have a happy life, you will probably be successful, but at least you'll be happy and you won't care. So figure out what you love the most, whatever it is, and then pursue that, and don't listen to other people.
Jim, what mistakes do you find young investors making today that you just want to get their attention and be like, stop this? Is there something that you see over and over again that we're doing wrong?
Well, I guess the answer is, I've noticed throughout the world, throughout history, people get swept away with the conventional wisdom, whatever it is. You know, when I was at university, the conventional wisdom was to go to law school. So we were all going to go to law school. That's what we were all told to do. It's the right thing to do. Now, nothing wrong with going to law school unless mm-hmm. you don't love it. But, you know, and I was too. I was going to go to law school like everybody else. Fortunately, I learned something else and didn't go to law school. But everybody, and it's not easy, Steve. It's not easy to figure out what you yourself love a lot, because often, uh-huh. people will tell you, that's it. That's useless. Don't bother. Don't listen to them. Listen to yourself and do what you love, whatever it is. No matter how absurd it may seem, do what you yourself love.
Jim, you're well-respected. You're well-known. People look up to you. But I know that, you know, you've made some mistakes. And, you know, we tend to learn from our mistakes, but I tend to learn from other people's mistakes too. And so, you know, this is our first time connecting, but if you can give some life lesson that you can pass along to me in this brief moment that we have together, if you can tell me, what have you learned from your mistakes that I can maybe learn from Jim Rogers?
Well, we all get emotional at times. We all get excited, especially if everybody around us is excited about something. And see, it's to repeat. It's very hard when everybody is telling you that the sky is blue. Mm-hmm. At least go and look out the window to see if the sky is blue. And be sure. And be sure that it's going to stay blue. But I guess the main answer to you, and many answers, but the main one is figure out your own reality and do not get swept away with the crowd. Follow your own passion and your own knowledge. Look out the window if everybody's telling you the sky is blue. Confirm it. Be sure.
Old Jim, yeah.
As you know, there will be times when everybody will tell you something.
Right.
And they will insist to you that this is the reality. And this is the way it's going to be.
Yeah.
Be very careful when you hear everybody telling you something.
Jim Rogers, the contrarian, even from Singapore. Jim, could you tell us about the Rogers International Commodity Index, the RICI? Why did you create it? You know, how does it work and how can investors use it?
Well, there came a time when I realized that commodities were going to be a great investment and that they're looking back. I now know that historically there have been many periods in history when commodities have been wildly successful, mm-hmm. whether we like it or not. And of course, many people will tell you, stay away from commodities, they're dangerous, etc. But my answer to that is no, learn about commodities. They've always been around. They always will be. They will always be important. And there will be times when they're extremely profitable and exciting, and you should know about it. You don't have to invest in commodities all the time, but at times you need to know. And if nothing else, you need to know what's happening because they affect the price of everything, which will affect anything you do. So I suggest to people, to everybody, that they at least learn about and understand and know about commodities. Even if you never invest in commodities, you need to understand. You need to understand the price of wheat. You need to understand the price of copper.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for your time. For listeners who want to follow more of your work, learn more about your books, if you can point us in the right direction.
Oh, yeah, I don't have anything to sell, Steve. I don't have a fund or a newsletter or anything. I'm just a simple person trying to survive. Yes, there is a commodity fund. There's a commodity index. But I want to repeat, if you want to survive and be successful, you must stay with what you know and do not listen to other people. Stay with only what you know. Now, Steve, some people will tell you, that's boring. Okay, be boring. Be boring if you want to be successful.
Boring is good.
And you will be happy.
Well, Jim, thank you so much for your advice. Thank you so much for your time. I enjoyed connecting with you here and enjoy your time in Singapore. And for everyone listening, this is Jim Rogers. I'm a huge fan. I'm honored to have you here.
It's been a lot of fun, and I hope we do it again sometimes.
All right, Jim. Have fun, my friend. Happy Thanksgiving.
Be careful. Thank you.
Thanks. Bye.
Bye-bye. Happy Thanksgiving to you, too.
Thanks. Bye.